Welcome to Faith Matters. You're listening to Maria and Denise. Well, she's going to be in here soon and we're going to get into some God chats and some good discussions, I'm sure. But what a beautiful day out there. Raglan is so full today. It's long weekend. Matariki. Thank you very much.
What? at the birds, how free they fly. Look at the lilies growing so wild. No, they don't wonder if rain's gonna fall down, or if the sun will ever come on out. So I won't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna worry about itself. I got about a million reasons to praise you. I got about a million stories to tell. To tell about how you always made a way through. I mean, I know where we're going, but I know that it's gonna be good.
It's never too late. I was just saying to Denise, oh, we just came to the end of the song. I've got you on, Denise.
Hello.
You on? Yes, you are there. Well, we were going to start discussing something today that it's been on my heart for quite some time. And it's a tricky subject at times because everyone has an opinion on things. But we have the mic, so we're just going to talk and chat and bring a point of difference, and that's what we're all about. So I wanted to talk about covenants, Denise, today, and I wanted to relate that back into our own country and looking at the covenants we may have had here and may not sit under anymore, or maybe, well, we sit under them, but we don't recognise them, we don't acknowledge them. So I first, maybe tell me what a covenant is. And is that close to, like, or just tell me what a covenant is. There we go.
Wow, there you go. Just a light one.
Shane just actually walked in. I didn't pre-warn her. This is live, so give her a break.
So a covenant is an agreement, but it's more than a contract. So, you know, we often talk about things like employment contracts and things like that, which are agreements, and we sign them. The closest thing really that we get to these days to a covenant is more something like a marriage.
Yes, okay.
Where we make a commitment to somebody and they make a commitment to us. And so in the Bible there are several covenants. There are covenants where, like, for example, after the flood, when the great flood that's in multiple cultural histories around the world, whatever their religious beliefs are. After the flood, God said, okay, I'm not going to flood the world with water like this again. And that was not dependent on anything. It was just him making a promise. You've got God making different promises with his people throughout the years. Sometimes it's just God saying, hey, I'm going to bless the nations through you. Or there are other times where God might actually make a covenant, but it is conditional. So there's a difference between a covenant that has conditions on it and a covenant that's made regardless of what happens.
So who's involved in a covenant?
Two parties, two people, two whatevers.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Okay, so are we talking two human beings?
Yep, can be. And obviously with God and, you know, making a covenant with his people, he's one side of the covenant, his people, multiple, on the other side. So it's not always an individual.
So that's what I kind of wanted to pull out a bit, is when we talk about a covenant, we're talking about something that is between two parties, but has a third party attached, that is God, over, is covering over that covenant.
Yeah.
So that's a biblical term.
Yeah, covenants, you do definitely find them in the Bible. We definitely use that word.
And that word covenant in the Bible is about an agreement between humans and with God, the spiritual part of us, our creator, who's in agreement with that. Right?
Yeah.
And so biblically, a covenant isn't broken, is it?
No. And I mean, the covenants that you read about in the Bible are usually God making an agreement with people. So he's upholding one end of the covenant and they the other. And so, yeah, we talk about God being a faithful God because he doesn't break his covenants. Like we talk about people in a marriage covenant, whether they are faithful or whether they break that covenant. Same thing with God. So as I said before, some of the covenants, like at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, there's a couple of chapters there, I think it's the 27 and 28, where his people stand on either side of these hills, and there's all these blessings that God speaks over them. If you obey me and follow my commandments, these are all the amazing things that are going to happen. These are all the blessings for you. But on the other hand, if you disobey and break your half of the commandment, of the covenant, then these are the things that are going to happen. One of them is, I'm going to remove you from the land. And so years later, you see that, yes, the people were removed from the land. And that was completely following through on what he said to them way back. He said, if you obey me and you're faithful to me, you know, this won't happen. But if you keep turning from me, which was what actually happened, then he said, this is going to be the consequence. Mm. And so he followed through on it.
So there's a whole history there. And I guess if people are listening in, that can sound quite tough. You know, if you follow me, this will happen. If you don't, that will happen.
Yeah.
And I think we've got to understand that behind this is a whole history of God and creation, his nature towards what he created and his nature towards us and his will for us to live in the goodness of his nature.
Yeah.
But we compromised that right at the beginning. So if you understand the story, there's a whole lot of compromise that is happening throughout our history in regards to these covenants that we have with God that were done in good measure. But we tend to do something that is in the opposite of his nature and the goodness that he intended over that covenant.
Yeah. Okay, so this might be slightly off topic from where you thought you were going to go. But
you go.
It's fully relevant. So you're talking about, it sounds harsh when we hear what God, you know, the consequences that played out. But we also say that God is a loving God. God is a loving Father. And so that's one thing that a huge number of people wrestle with. They go, if you read the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, how can you not come away from that with the thought of this is an angry God? And I want to say, you can, and this is how. So when, right back, so not at the very, very beginning, we're not talking about creation, I'm talking about when you have Adam and Eve, the first man, first woman, and God says to them, okay, I've put you in this garden, be fruitful and multiply. The only thing that I say, there's these two trees in the middle. There's the tree of life and there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's like, just don't eat from that tree. It's the only sort of restriction I'm putting on you, because he had to give them choice. He didn't want them to be, you know, just little robots who were just doing their thing. He wanted them to be able to choose. He wanted genuine relationship with them, not just because that's the way he made them and they didn't have the option.
So, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
But he gave them the tree of life then, and he didn't say, don't eat from the tree of life. He said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did they do? They went and ate from that tree. And so they still have access at this point to the tree of life, right? Because they're still in the garden. And he's looking at them going, I do not want you guys to be stuck in the position you're at now, where you've got this knowledge of good and evil. You're now experiencing evil in a way that you hadn't experienced before. If you eat from the tree of life now, you're going to be like that forever. What I have got in place is, I came up with a plan ahead of time. If you did eat from that tree, I've got a plan to bring you back into relationship with me. And so he sent them out of the garden and put, I think it was cherubim, angels with fiery flaming swords to protect them from coming back to the tree of life at that point. But what he also did was he already restored them as much as he could. So he, if you actually read in Genesis, God killed some animals and clothed them with animal skin right then and there. So we read in the Bible that the wages of sin is death, so there was some sort of death or blood sacrifice that needed to happen for them to be restored to relationship with God. And God actually went about that right at the beginning and killed a couple of animals to cover Adam and Eve, so that although they didn't have access to that tree of life as it had stood at that point, he still restored relationship to the point that was appropriate for them. He spilt the blood of these animals so that there had been a payment for what they had done, and he set in action his plan to restore them fully into relationship with him. And so there's all these things in the Old Testament, or in the first part of the Bible, that point forward to the one who would come, who would restore relationship between us and with God. So actually it sounds awful, you know, people say he sent them out of the Garden of Eden and it was beautiful and how terrible and mean, but he didn't want them to get stuck in their current state.
Yeah, and it's that current state. I mean, me and Denise have talked off air a lot about the time before Eden, and we've talked about the story of creation and heaven and hell and, you know, the fallen angels, and it is something we wanted to talk about on air at some stage. It's a massive story, and it's a story that a lot of us actually don't know about. A powerful story that is part of the history of our creation, and the spiritual life that we have that we're not really connected to anymore. And I guess with a covenant in this day and age, that's very much about a spiritual connection, a spiritual relationship. Rather than a written document. So I guess for me, when I look at Aotearoa and, you know, our covenants here, I don't know if a covenant is the same as a treaty, Denise, but what I do know is that for me, I think I've always known New Zealand, always grew up with the idea and was spoken into me that New Zealand is God's own country. You know, and I don't know where that came from or why people were talking like that when I was younger, but I remember hearing that a lot. You know, this is God's own country. And I always felt very blessed to be here and that this was an incredible place to be. But, you know, I think there was that peace over New Zealand when I was younger. And looking back on it now, when I think about my, you know, school and God was a big part of that. We still had prayer in schools. You know, I remember the church being quite an important part of our community. The church was something that brought a place where community gathered.
Yep.
Yeah, and also prayer and government was a big thing. And our national anthem, you know, God of Nations, God Defend New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness it's still in there. We're still hanging on there somewhere, you know. God is in this covenant that he has over this nation. And I was thinking about the treaty, and because I'm really quite disturbed about what's happening there with them trying to look back in history on a language and bring it into modern day understanding and mess around with it and make it try and fit today's world, when actually the treaty that we had was just fine. Like, the language in it was just fine. It was quite easy to understand and not really difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why it's so difficult today. But when I think back on it and the studies that I've done around the treaty, that and the time around the treaty when the Māori chiefs and were discussing and talking about this treaty, and God was a very big part of that, because you know, the people of that time were bringing in the Christian element into this country, and the Māori understood Jesus and God in a way that wasn't westernised as it is in this day and age, and made to look like something it's not, which really annoys me, by the way. I'm just going to say, you westernised my faith. I'm not happy about that. Yeah, and so we put it into this box where we look at Christianity in a very almost negative view. And yet it was such a big part of the coming together of our country and our nation. And the treaty had a lot of prayer over it, Denise. And so to me, this is a covenant. Mm-hmm. There weren't just two people involved in this, two races. There was God overseeing this. There was a covenant there. They prayed. And they didn't pray to a Western God, as people try and box them in. They prayed to an ancient creator who they knew was real and existed in modern time.
Yeah.
And had brought a saviour onto the world that gave us the point of difference of understanding good. You know, and so they had a real depth of understanding of the spiritual world. And so relationship there back then was quite easy to come into. Prayer, peace, knowing a good God who had good things for them,
yep.
Wanted good things for them, wanted relationship. So my annoyance is that I feel that we've left a big component out of this treaty, and that is the spiritual aspect that was over this treaty. There's somebody that was in agreement in that treaty who hasn't changed his mind, Denise.
Right, yeah.
And that doesn't concern me, but it concerns me for the nation, I guess, for our country, because if God hasn't changed his mind on the treaty or the covenant that he made with us, then I haven't seen anything in our country go very well since the time we've tried to take him out of our country. And I'm talking about taking him out of school with prayer, taking him out of our government with prayer. Well, mm-hmm. We used to have prayer there, and he's not there anymore.
Right.
He's just hanging on by our national anthem. Yeah. We're still mentioning him there as a covenant over our country.
Mm. And the cool thing about that he's called God of Nations in our national anthem. And again, going back to God's word, God said to Abraham that I will bless all nations through you. And God yes, and through the Bible we know, we see him as the God of Israel.
Mm.
But it was always his intention to bless the nations through them, that there would be that return to relationship with him through the coming of this promised one who would restore that relationship. So, yeah, it's powerful. New Zealand's in a pretty blessed position. Like, there was another document signed in 1835 before the Treaty of Waitangi that gave us sovereignty as a nation. And the treaty, we're in a position that no other nation at time was in. So, you know, you could argue that for God's own.
Absolutely. And I think we've got to kind of open up our spiritual eyes a bit, because, and ask the question, has it gone well for our country taking prayer out of government, prayer out of school, just the normal, normal response to prayer, being able to pray for people or just even use that language. It concerns me that we have believed a lie, Denise, that God is not alive and active in our everyday modern day lives when he is. And I do want us to question, have things been going well lately over our country? Is the government looking good? You know, how are our school systems going? How are our kids going? You know, like, I'd like to see our covenant be respected. So it might do us some good. But we're going to move into some Toby Mac and Speak Life.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life. Somewhere
You're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters, 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. If I've got you on, Denise. If you want to listen to any of our podcasts, you can tune in to the radio station and find Faith Matters there and all our crazy talks that we have. Just remember, this is live. I don't go through and edit it, so, you know. Be kind. I'll try to be kind, Denise. All right.
Sounds like a great idea.
It's a good idea. Speak life. And that's a good thing, you know, that song, I put it on there for a reason, because I do think that we need to speak life sometimes. Or maybe sometimes we just need to speak truth. It might be just our truth, but it could be others' truth as well. And we were talking about covenants and what they mean, and God being a part of those covenants. And part of that we talked about back in the Old Testament and the covenant of God back there towards people. And I was chatting a little bit about the covenant and the treaty and how I see that in regards to God over that, and how I don't feel that we have respected that and valued that, and I think that we've got a lot of problems because of it. I don't think God's changed his mind at all, and that we should not change anything about the treaty whatsoever, unless God decides that he wants to do that, which I don't think is going to happen. I think that we should learn to live with it and actually value it. As I do think with all things that God has a covenant over, which was Aotearoa, New Zealand, he has a covenant over God's own country until others got hold of it. But, you know, I'd like to acknowledge that we could put him back as being a very good part in our country, where we could tune into the spiritual part of us, this creator that we've always acknowledged in days of old. And we might see a point of difference, because at the moment things aren't looking so healthy without him, Denise. So,
interesting that you say that. I was just thinking of, again, talking about those covenants of long ago. God did make covenants with his people, and he put out some ways of living that would, you know, keep them walking in the right ways. And over time, the people of Israel would sort of stop reading those words, and they would get out of the habit, and they'd start worshipping other gods, and they'd do all these things. And then somebody with a heart towards God would find these scrolls in the temple or whatever it was, and would draw the people back together and read God's words to them again. And they would come and, you know, they would say, "Look, Lord, we're so sorry, we've turned away from you again." And they would restore, they would make sacrifices, which is what was prescribed in the Old Testament for coming back into relationship with God. And they would reconcile with God once again. And it was a matter of the heart. It was whether their heart was turned towards him or whether their hearts kind of drifted off. And just, you know, you're talking about there the treaty, and it's very easy to sort of wander off from the, if you call it a covenant that was over this nation, perhaps we have sort of wandered off and forgotten the significance of that. But what we can do is we can actually come back together again and make a renewed commitment to this covenant that has already been established. And that was a pattern that we did see through the Old Testament.
Yeah, a lot of our old people did pray, come together and pray and spend time in prayer. We don't do that anymore. There is nobody we're turning to apart from ourselves, and trying to find the answers to really big problems, which often do need a heart response and a head response. So that's kind of wisdom together right there, which often we don't have, because as humans we swing one way or the other. We can be driven by our emotions to something and how strongly we feel. Like, I mean, it's a bit like the when you don't feel like you've got a voice, right? And then you feel like everyone else has a voice but you, and then you get to have the voice, and then you feel like you are the voice and nobody else is being heard. You know, it's kind of like we need this, we all need to be heard. I do think that. It's no good trying to pretend others don't have a voice. But I think without wisdom in amongst all that, we're kind of like a ship without a rudder. We just get tossed around, like, in whatever direction the wind wants to take us that day. And because we're a mass moving together, it's pretty hard to stop that.
So I guess if you think of that covenant being a relationship, you can kind of come back together as far as the nuts and bolts and kind of look at it contractually. If you signed that, you signed that. But actually when the heart was to come together as people and have relationship to honour each other, that is something that needs wisdom. And so if you just have people turning up and saying, hey, let's work on this, it's going to be at a completely different level from when you come together with God in the mix and you come together as people and say, look, we're really sorry for how this has played out so far. We make a renewed commitment to living out the heart of what was in here, not just the nuts and bolts, but actually having a heart towards each other, which requires things like forgiving each other. It also requires looking back and actually trying to make reparation for what has happened in the past. So there's different aspects to it. And I think depending on how you've read the treaty in the past, you might err towards one way or the other. Some people would go, oh, it's all in the past, sweep it under the carpet, get on with life. Other people are like, hang on. That
founding
changed
document.
Everything in this nation, and we need to go back and restore what has been lost.
Yeah. So, and in the same spirit is that it was built on. We can't carry what we don't have with us now back into that past and think we're going to see it with the same eyes. We're not. It's a hard eyes we're looking through now. They are not spirit eyes. They're not with God in the mix. We've taken him out. Now we're looking at it from a very ego-driven, money-orientated, business-orientated, this is not people-orientated, and looking at nourishing and growing what we have. It's more about what we can divide off and own, which is, a really hard view to take when this really we could have had it all. Oh, there's a song I'm pretty sure that's called that. We could have had it all, but we can be so stubborn that we want it on our terms. And unfortunately some of those smaller voices got far too much of a platform to speak. So I'm going to move into I Am Stan Walker. See, everything is changed.
Tell me, how can we stand by? I don't wanna be the same.
Nice. Okay, so you're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters. We've been talking about covenants and what they mean and what perhaps they could mean in our own country. And we thought we'd move into a marriage covenant. People might not even know what that means these days. I'm not sure they do, Denise.
Well, I was just thinking back a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about actually sometimes it's really hard to be faithful in a marriage. We can get, you know, we tend to marry someone who's very different from us, and it's all very exciting and adventurous at the beginning, but then over time it's just like, oh my goodness, this person is so different from me and I don't know if I can handle actually having to deal with this. And so I guess you can, you know, in that covenant context you're talking about, it's not just two people coming together. There's a spiritual aspect to this, and I guess when you look at that from the what the Bible talks about, the Bible talks about two people coming together and becoming one. So when we become one with another person, that's a spiritual thing, because to look at them, they're still two people. But there's a verse that's quite often read out at weddings, and it talks about a three-stranded cord is hard to break. And I guess that is the difference in a marriage covenant, where you've got two people. Two-stranded cord is not as strong as three strands. And so when you've got a three-stranded cord where there's husband, wife, and God in the mix all together, that is where you become stronger. Because, you know, when I was saying it's hard sometimes to be faithful, sometimes you have to step back and allow God to soften your heart in a particular area for just to be patient or to be kind or whatever it might be. Those are resources that we can sometimes run out of ourselves, but actually God is an endless supply.
Yeah, it's that resource, I think, that we haven't used in our marriages. You know, it's not really talked about where our marriage vows come from, or, God was often in the mix, but we've even tried to take him out of that now. How's that going for you? I don't know. I only know that, you know, what I know about a three-strand cord biblically, you know, that's the strongest you can have, and it's pretty much unbreakable.
Mm.
And in any kind of contractual agreement between two people, when you invite God into that as your third strand, that means you are connecting into this other part that is the unknown. And we talked about the fruits of the Spirit last week, and this is what we're connecting into when we're connecting into God, is this resource, this endless resource of wisdom and ways to have peace, or ways to tackle a problem from a different perspective rather than one that, you know, can be filled with anger or disappointment or bitterness, the things that will drive us out of relationship. You know, God will drive us towards the things to bring us back into relationship. And I just want to put that out there for his covenants. God is not into breaking relationships. He's into restoring relationship,
yeah, for sure.
Keeping relationship even through the hard times. And without that third strand in there, you know, we're just too human. We, you know, our emotions drive us. So we need the third strand to give us wisdom, to give us something outside of ourselves that we can fall back on that wasn't there before.
Yeah, and one of the fruit of the Spirit, so you've got all the, you know, to act in love, to have joy, to be patient, all these sorts of things. They're sort of the doing, but there's also the last one, which is self-control. So that's also the holding back from. And I think last week we were talking about speaking life, and we talked about how sometimes we are actually releasing life into a situation by how we speak, but sometimes it actually takes shutting our mouth and not saying anything. So in that self-control, sometimes we just need to take a moment.
Yeah, we do. Step back from ourselves.
Yeah.
And allow for the God moment.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if disappointing taking prayer out of government, because in a lot of way our spirit in us, the Spirit of God in us, reminds us of what's good, you know, of what's healthy, of what is the right way to go. You know, it gives us that feeling, whereas if we disconnect from that, then we'll just do whatever we want. And our bigger picture isn't a very good one.
Mm.
Like, we're not clever enough to see the bigger picture. We can only see what's in front of us, and we're not realizing that the bigger picture is damaging.
Mm.
You know, when we make decisions to do something from very much a desired place, you know, I want this, or maybe feel like we don't have a voice, and so therefore I must have one. You know,
yeah, and I've got to force my way in and speak my truth. Where actually maybe you need to show a measure of character that people invite you into that place to speak.
Amen. To be invited in rather than storming in through the front door, right? And knocking it down and going, here's what it's about. But, you know, going back to, you know, God in government, God in schools, God in our marriages, or God over our country, I would question why do people feel so offended by that too? Like, what is so, I don't know if the word's frightening, or like it seems to annoy people or get their backs up to even mention God in the mix.
Mm.
It's an interesting one, eh? When you think something is good and has good intention, is created everything that we can see around us with good intention, and yet we tend to want to push away from that and rely on our own abilities.
Mm. Well, when you think about, you know, our own hearts, we know in our own hearts that there's that knowledge of good and evil. And so I guess we project that out to others, assume that depending on what we're involved in, if you're a criminal doing things, you wouldn't be able to understand somebody who had a pure heart towards something and just go, no, I'm happy to give that away. They'll be like, what the heck? Grab it for yourself.
Yeah,
and you can't fathom that somebody else might think differently. I guess it's like that when we look at God, we can't fathom that he thinks differently from how we do.
That, absolutely. And if you understood his nature, and you know, you often hear, well, God can't be around things that are detrimental, bad, you know, and whatever that might be. And we're talking about, you know, greed and murder and you know, all the negative things that really do destroy societies, you know. God can't be, and we think that God is a stuffy God. Yeah. He's so good, he just can't be around that. That's not a truth. That's not what it's about. Yeah, exactly. There it is. He can't. He just cannot be around things that are destructive. You know, it's like saying light can be in dark. It can't. It will always overtake the dark.
Actually, that's a great analogy.
You know, he just cannot exist in what is not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, just stop seeing him as though he's some goody two-shoes because of that, you know. And even naming, you know, people get upset because we name him. Well, that's okay by me. Like, I don't have any other name, God, Creator. Mm. Whatever satisfies, you know, your ego to need to have a name, like whatever. I would like to challenge the fact that, you know, there is more than us being human, that we have a spirit as well. And really we're not connected to it. And that spirit is given by God. It has been used in many forms throughout the world to be used in a bad way, but that spirit was no doubt given by God.
So when God created mankind, men and women, mankind, he created them, male and female, in his own image. And so we actually have a significant part to play here on earth, because here we are representing God. We are, we're not just, you know, just people doing
random,
our thing.
Random, which is random.
we actually make a difference. We actually represent him. We are not just physical beings. We are spiritual beings as well.
Well, it is like that covenant, isn't it? He has a covenant with us. And we can connect into that covenant that he has with us, or we can reject it.
Yeah.
You know, but to step into the covenant is to step into who he is. And who he is good.
Yeah.
And so that makes us step back. And then we get kind of nervous about that, because everything that isn't good starts to get exposed. And, you know, God is good.
Okay, I have a great question for you, which is out the blue and you might not have an answer, but...
Probably not.
So Jesus said, ask anything in my name and it will be granted to me, to you. Mm. What do you think it means to be in his name?
Well, interesting, because if I was in his name and I'm asking for something, then it's probably something he's already said yes to, Denise, because I'm in him and I'm part of who he is. So that I'm not coming from a selfish, driven place that is my desire or my want or my need to be met, you know, what I want. Probably if I am in him, it's going to be for others. It's going to be for the greater good. It's going to be for whatever is going to be healing and restoring and growing and in a healthy way. Do I think that's possible? Not. I think I have an idealist dream of what the world should look like, unfortunately, but I have hope. And my hope comes from that connection of spirit.
Yeah.
That comes from God. That is good.
Which is about relationship.
Amen. And we need to stay in relationship, because without it, well, let's just say, has it been going good this far? No. Yeah. I'm going to get your fight back. Here we go.
Six, five, four, three, two, one, counting down till morning comes. Been a wild one, been a dark one, devil's playground. Hope you have fun. Don't break me fast, so loud, singing myself heartbreak songs. Got a voice, I can't avoid it. Helps me heal, so I exploit it. Maybe someone's in a similar boat. Hope that you feel a little more less alone. Pray to the Lord, can you please help my soul? Knock on the door, are you out there? Hello. Feelings alive.
a public place, putting on my happy face. How are you? I'm doing fine. But underneath, I'm slowly dying. Stuff all my problems down, make some music, drown it out. Learned about the grieving cycle, still at stage one in denial. Think it's time to be honest with me. Healing is hard, think we all would agree. Hell, God is wish, got me keeping busy. Verdict is in, everybody's guilty. Feelings are
Yeah, I better turn us on first. There we go. That was Sarah Reeves, Get Back Your Fight. Mean that in the nicest possible way, not in a negative way at all, but sometimes we do need to stand our ground, I think, and start speaking out some things that are healthy. Denise, we were talking about a three-strand cord is not easily broken, and covenants and... one of the covenants we were talking about, we've talked about, you know, the Old Testament and God's covenant with his people. Some of that might be confusing for those listening that don't understand the story in the Bible. But, you know, in our chats, I'm sure we'll unpack more of that. Mm-hmm. Denise, we're going to go some places. Oh, we're going to go some places. But today we're talking about covenant and three-strand cord, and I was questioning, you know, how's it going for us taking God out of government, you know, prayer and in our government and in schools and even in our own community and lives. You know, we've got a question, how's that been going for us since we've done that? So I was thinking about the three-strand cord in marriage, and for me it's been, I got married with that understanding as God, as a covenant over our marriage.
Right.
And it's not something that I had to think hard about. It was just very natural for me to do that. And so how has that benefited our marriage? Well, I guess when I look at the beginning years of my marriage, it was quite tumultuous all over the place as we were trying to navigate that ground that you were talking about, where you come to actually maybe we're not suited,
right?
Because of all the things you start to notice that you didn't see, you know, beforehand, or maybe the things you think you can't do life with forever, and I guess if I hadn't had God in the mix at that point, or even people that knew God in my life that I could talk to,
mm-hmm.
I might have taken things into my own hands at that point and left my marriage just because my mind would have told me, I don't want to do this, you know, simply don't want to do it. And I wouldn't have thought outside of that. But, you know, having God in the mix gave me a place to go to. It gave me a space and a place where I could take the noise of everything that was happening around me and meditate. And meditate on a nature of God that was outside of what I wanted to do, which was probably run away and destroy or annihilate something in the moment. Who knows? I don't know. But, yeah, at one point it gave me someone to talk to, and it gave me a peace in my heart and a peace in me. And so that was the first thing I noticed, was that when I was feeling really agitated and overwhelmed, that I could go and pray or be in the presence of the third strand and feel different. You know, feel a peace come over me. And then once I felt the peace, then other things would happen. I would start to see the things that I wasn't seeing before. And right. The good things again, like family or relationship or what we had or the bigger picture, yep. rather than the small little piece that I was going through in that moment.
Mm. Because you'll find what you're looking for. So if you've got yourself into a spot where you're seeing things that are frustrating, well, then you see more and more things that are frustrating and kind of ignore the other things.
Yeah, and come along, and people will come along in agreement with that too, who don't know that third strand. They will come along in agreement with you and go, yeah, that's terrible. Like, no, you've got every reason not be there. Like, let's go and party or do something else. Like, you know, everything yeah. to avoid and move away from,
yep.
rather than restore and come back into.
Yep.
And that takes change and development and the ability to see outside of what your own thinking is and allowing somebody else's thinking to have space, mm-hmm. I suppose, and you to grow,
yep.
and help us yourself change or not. You know, you may not agree at the end, and that's okay too. But if you don't allow the space in between you and the person you're having a disagreement, you know, that space in between you and that other person, there's a God space there that will help you to do this better than if you were doing it on your own through your own understanding and logic,
yeah.
you know, or emotional reaction.
Yeah. Or thinking, what am I getting out of this?
Yeah.
So that's the difference potentially, again, about a contract and a covenant is a contract. I'll give you this and I expect this in return. Mm. A contract is very much, you know,
between
what will I get out of it? But then that covenant aspect is deeper.
It's going to be it's what you engage with, I don't want to say what you can get out of it. You know, it's not what you can get out of God.
Well, that's
what he freely just is.
Yeah. So you think of marriage vows in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. Mm. What are the other bits?
I didn't say that in the right order,
so I can't think. But, you know, what happens when someone's unwell? Do you just go, oh, well, this really doesn't suit me. It's uncomfortable to have to look after this person. I'm out.
Yeah, which is...
Do you actually go, hey, this relationship is really important, this person is of value, and I choose to stay.
Yeah. And that's going to some people do that out of love because they actually want to, and some people it may not be so easy for them to care for somebody who they don't want to, you know, don't know how to do this, you know. And some people just naturally want to run from that. And yet in our marriages, you know, that's the very time we need to stay and be and part of that relationship so that the other person isn't on their own, you know, and it's our responsibility to care outside of our own natural instinct to care about me. You know, it's a care of another person.
Yeah. Mm. In saying that, you know, it can be exhausting to be caring for someone who's unwell, and actually we do need a support system around us in ways that we can have a rest and a break and be refreshed and recharged ourselves. It's not all about being a martyr and just sacrificing your own health and well-being.
And that's not relying on a system to do that, Denise. Mm. That's relying on people who are, I think, have that are already in relationship, that know that we have a need for connection, a need to feel valued and loved, you know, no matter where we are on the scale of whether we're healthy or unhealthy, you know. That connection point is what makes us human.
Yeah.
So the covenant in a marriage, I think that for me it's I've never been alone. I've never felt like I've had to face something on my own, even though I felt like it's been a lonely place.
Right.
But I haven't felt alone in it. That there's always been somewhere where I've been able to get some real wisdom from that maybe not what I want to do in the moment, but the bigger picture is going to be a better result for me.
So is that your relationship with God that you're talking about?
No, in my relationship in my marriage, like if I, having God in that mix gives me the point of difference where I can connect into something that has a different point of view than me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I might want to do this, but my instincts will tell me it's better to do that. And that's bigger picture stuff. That's going to be healthier in the bigger picture, which is kind of like what I was talking, you know, where we started in regards to, you know, taking God out of our government and prayer, and God out of school and prayer, and, you know, these things that gave us the point of difference that helped us to feel maybe aroha rather than anger, or learning to connect into the fruits of those spirit that we talked about, you know, rather than coming from a place of our own disappointments or things that we haven't gotten that we wanted, whether that be in our finances or in our marriage or in our whatever, business, whatever it might be.
Yeah, so as we come back to that thought of, you know, when Jesus said, anything you ask for in my name, you know, it will be done. So you think again about that relationship context there. Relationship is not about the piece of paper. It's not about saying, you know, it's not a little, what is it called, talisman at the end of a prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I said whatever I wanted, and because I've just said Jesus' name, I want it, and I'm going to get it.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, but so in the Old Testament again, there is a story of, so there was a box that was in the most holy place in the temple, and it was called the Ark of the Covenant. So here we are talking about covenant. So there's this box. It's also called the mercy seat. So it's the place where God dwelt amongst his people. So back when they didn't have a temple, they had a tent that they moved around. The Ark of the Covenant got placed in the most holy place of the tabernacle or of the temple, and that's where God dwelt. And so...
not physically, physically?
I don't know.
Spiritually?
There's okay. You do hear of a cloud coming to fall. So
okay.
Physically, yep. Maybe sometimes there were physical signs, but definitely spiritually. But then there came a time where the people hadn't been in relationship with God, but they were about to go off and fight. And they're just like, hang on a second. Normally when God goes before us, like, we're winning a battle. So how about we go get the Ark of the Covenant, we'll go get the box, and we'll take it into battle with us. And so they went and grabbed the box and took it. But God was not in relationship with them. He didn't say, go into battle. Or they just took him as a little, in Jesus' name, amen.
A magician.
Yeah.
Oh, magic.
We've got the Ark of the Covenant, so you're going to lose.
Na.
But actually, they didn't win. God did not go with them into that battle. That was not in him. And so they lost. They lost the Ark of the Covenant, which was absolutely horrifying, to the point that the high priest at the time fell off his chair backwards and died, like he hit his head or something, and he was gone because the shock of, what do you mean we have lost the presence of God in our midst? Because it was actually about relationship, although they thought, oh no, we'll just tack this on the end of it. It was never about the box. It was about the relationship with God who dwelt on the box, in the box.
Yeah, and I like that. So they could have the form of the box, right? You could have something, like you can hold a cross, you can have anything that might say something, but unless you are in relationship with the person who that cross, what that means, it's just a piece of wood. It's just a cross. You know, it has no meaning whatsoever, and neither does a box that they were trying to take into battle that wasn't in agreement there in the beginning. There was no agreement there, so they had no relationship.
That's right.
It's out of relationship, and that's what we do when we take God out of covenants. You know, we've taken him out of the picture.
Yeah.
It amazes me that we think we can have blessing or goodness when we've taken him out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And that's not to say that God wasn't powerful in that moment, because the box got taken into these other towns, and God's presence started to have an impact there. They put him in one of their temples because they're like, well, it's a box of a god, let's stick him in the temple. Well, their god woke up, you know, when they woke up the next morning, their god had fallen on his face. And they're just like, well, that's not right. So they stood him up again. And the next day, not only had their god fallen on his face, but the carving, the sculpture, had smashed to pieces. And they're just like, oh my gosh, we can't have him here. People started to get tumours, people started to get sick, and the presence in surroundings of this powerful presence of God. And they're like, well, we don't want him in this town, let's move the box over to this town. Well, the people in that town started to get sick. So it's not like God wasn't powerful, but people weren't honouring how that relationship was. And so, you know, when we think, well, God's not moving because I prayed this prayer and he's not answering, don't let's get to the point where we're like, well, God's just nothing, he's not powerful. Actually, he's powerful and he's moving. What we need to be doing is moving ourselves into relationship with him and be moving with him instead of going off and doing our own thing somewhere random and just hoping, crossing our fingers and hoping that he'll do something. We need to be listening to what he's doing and working alongside him.
Yeah, we come from a small picture while he is a bigger picture God. So, yeah, that's... going to move into Yet to Come by Rapture Ruckus. Oh, I like this. Like this guy. Like this. Like his tunes too. Oh, I just think he's a cool dude. Amen to that. Your best is still yet to come. I hope it is. I hope my best is still yet to come, Denise. Looking forward to that. We've been talking about covenants, what they mean, and I think for me, the treaty's been really on my heart for ages now, and it's a hard one to talk about because everyone has such a strong reaction to it, maybe. Mine's pretty simple. I just would like to see God back in the mix over our treaty, that he was part of that covenant. I don't think that he's changed his mind, and as far as I can see, nothing, you know, he hasn't taken his hand off it from the time it was written. Why would we want to change it now? I don't think that's going to do us any good. And I've been just questioning, you know, the fact that we don't have God in our prayer and government anymore, not in schools, not anywhere that we want to recognise him. We're just hanging on in our national anthem. And some people might mock that and go, well, you know, have their own opinions about that. But my question is, how well has it been going since we've taken him out? Like, how well has our country been surviving since prayer has been taken out of government, since prayer has been taken out of school, since prayer has been just even taken out of our language as though it's something we need to be ashamed of, which I can't encourage you enough that it's certainly the other way around. If we were to bring it in and use this third strand and the cord that we have, we might find a lot of wisdom and restoring of relationship and health and blessing over our country, which at the moment is pretty hard to see, Denise. Mm. Well, that's my opinion anyway. It's worth much.
No, it's really valid, and it's something that we can be, well, we can be thinking about ourselves, but are we brave to start having the conversation?
That's it. You need to be brave because, you know, so many people that I know who I, you know, it's almost like if I bring my faith into something, it's almost like I annoy them or something, or that I've done something really bad. And I find that really unusual, that the very thing that is good for us that we tend to move away from, and I'm not sure where that is coming from or why we have these opinions. And I think it's because we've westernised, I do think that, westernised our faith in a way that has made it impossible for people to truly know who God is or Jesus or relationship. Mm. Many minority voices, I think, have told stories that are untruths very much, and our voices become less and less as Christians because, you know, you get mocked more and more.
Yeah, and people carry offence too, carry offence or carry misunderstanding, and so they actually close off their ears, they're not willing to hear. They've got something going on in their own perception of things, and they shut out any other things that might challenge their ideas or their views.
Mm. It is a hard one because I often too find that people pull out parts of the Bible, just pull out things at random and try and make it fit for what they're saying, which I find very frustrating. Not that God's word can't be used in many different ways, because it can be, but if we're using it in a way that's destructive and wasn't meant to be used in that way, it's not going to do us well, is it? And we misinform people about who God is by that. Thinking about back to the covenant and what a covenant is, and for me, I believe that God was in covenant over the treaty. And he hasn't changed his mind on that. He hasn't changed his mind on any part of that time and era that was an agreement over. So I don't think it does us well to come out of a treaty or a covenant without all parties being in agreement.
Right.
Yeah. As far as I know,
that's what it's about.
Yeah. As far as I know, we don't have that yet. So there's going to be discord when we try and break something where there's no agreement over that. It's not going to have a happy ending. That was just something I wanted to bring forward today. Pleased I did, I suppose. I feel a bit better. Mm. Anyone's listening, probably annoyed some people. That's okay. I'm okay with that. So any other wisdom before we head out, Denise?
Well, I think it's just about, once again, coming back to relationship.
Mm.
So that's something that you talk about week in, week out. And I guess the challenge, especially if you are frustrated with how this conversation's gone, is looking at relationship. How are we relating to other Kiwis, others who live in this nation, whatever their heritage might be? Mm-hmm. Do we value people as a human, somebody who's been made in the image of God, or are we actually all about ourselves and in refusing to acknowledge other people or refusing to listen to them? That doesn't work very well in relationship. The relationship's a lot to do with how we communicate, how we listen. I guess it's just that challenge of what do our relationships look like this week as we think about the treaty, or as we think about our marriages, as we think about different layers of covenant that we are involved in our relationship with God. Yeah. What's that like?
What's that third strand to bring that in? Because that's what the covenant is a third strand that's outside of ourselves that can give us some wisdom that we often don't have. We're going to head out. But if you're, we've talked about, well, I know I have, talked about some things that were on my heart today. And will probably continue to be on my heart. But if you're looking to know more about faith, Christianity, or what this faith journey is all about, then you're welcome to join us on Sunday at Raglan Area School. Pretty sure Pastor Roger is speaking this Sunday, bringing us, he's talking on the Book of Romans, which has been so amazingly good. If you want to listen to any of those podcasts or watch the videos, you can tune into the Surfside website on www.surfside.co.nz. You can look up Surfside Church on YouTube, and you can actually connect into the sermons, watch the sermons online. They get videoed every Sunday. It's a good way to keep up with God's word and stay connected, if that's what you're wanting to do.
I've actually just changed the last
song. Where did you go? Where are we going?
So you've been talking about having prayer in Parliament and prayer in schools, and so I thought actually let's play out with Hallowed Be Your Name, which is a version of the Lord's Prayer.
Amen. So have a great week, everyone. Be kind and gentle to self. Like I say, if you want to join us, we'll be at Raglan Area School, Surfside Church, 10 a.m. Sunday. I suggest you get there at like 9:45, because the seats are getting pretty full in there now. Yeah, it's pretty much standing room only. So if you want to peek in, we'll see you there Sunday.
Sounds great. So, Hallowed Be Your Name by Gateway Aotearoa.
Oh,